Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Welcome to Voice of Olympus. This is Hercules Invictus
and Athena Victory,
and we would like to welcome you to the first episode of our second season. This season is called Mount Olympus Cares, and we'll focus on the Elysium Project, which is an Age of Heroes initiative, or rather a series of Age of Hero initiatives that we have running here in Bergen County and beyond Bergen County. We're launching tonight with an episode on innovative giving, and our first guest is an innovative giver par excellence. We met him several years ago while we were sojourning through northwestern New Jersey, and at the time he was doing something called Concert for the Caring, which he's still doing, and now he's also doing the Charity Jukebox and has a 501c3 called the Candle of Hope, which is an umbrella organization that covers these and many other wonderful initiatives. So without further ado, I welcome Morgan Paul. Greetings, sir. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Herc. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Time flies. Great. It's been quite a while since we last sat down and had a conversation.
Yes, it has been a while. It has been a while. But hey, you know, we've been really busy here. Of course, the Concert for the Caring, we do when we can. As you said, the Charity Jukebox is really taking off, and we're very excited about it.
Tell us about that. It sounds really fascinating. I looked at your website, and it looks very exciting. And you had recently a big event that raised a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting kind of evolution, because for a longest time the focus was on the Concert for the Caring, which is an original music sort of on the model of Broadway, whereas in the sense that you go to a Broadway play, you don't know quite what you're getting into, and so you get that whole orchestration of an overture and original music and all that fun stuff, and it was fine. But as the years went by and we were doing these, we kept getting demand for doing cover songs. You know, people were like, oh, can you play our wedding and blah, blah, blah. So I knocked out a few more cover songs. And one day we turned around, we looked at 200-plus cover songs.
Wow.
And I said, man, this is like a jukebox, you know. And I went, jukebox, you know, I wonder if we can link charitable fundraising with music. And that was the kernel for this thing. So, and parallel world, you know, why would I even think of that? I was working with charities quite a bit. I had a business in Manhattan for a long time and then shut that down when that no longer became a good thing. And I got involved in charities. I was working for, I took a seat as a business development officer for United Way, which was an adventure. But what it did teach me is that they're very afraid of doing anything new to raise money. And I said, that's got to stop, you know, because that's, the world has changed. And one thing I knew for sure, being a baby boomer myself, is that baby boomers love music. Then they also have the money to make a difference in the world. So I put all those pieces together, and I said, why don't we just do music events and link them with charities? And then what ended up happening was that it worked. You know, so we put this idea together and said, okay, let's take this 200-plus catalog of cover songs, which is very baby boomer-centric stuff, to appeal to that group. And we sort of hold the songs hostage. So we do these musical events, and I sing and play piano, sort of like that Elton John, Billy Joel kind of persona. We have an electric violinist, and now I've just brought on an acoustic guitar and a diva, Autumn.
Wow.
She's wonderful. She's got a range like Sarah Brightman and beyond. And we do a few of those songs, too. There's Andrew Lloyd Webber favorites from Broadway, you know, because it appeals to that generation. But we put all those songs in a book, that with a little program book. It looks like a playbill. And people then, everybody, we do this in restaurants, like 4-star restaurants. And everybody gets the book, and then there's an envelope in there that's a donation envelope, and it says, please play my favorite song, blank, and give this blank dollar donation to my favorite charity in a blank, and then send me a receipt at this email address. So they put information on there. I'm sorry?
That's very creative.
Yeah, you know, so we hold a song hostage. And they say, so they say, okay, I want to hear Billy Joel, I Love You Just the Way You Are, and here's $20 for the Girl Scouts. And wonderful. And send me a receipt at you know, John Doe at whatever. And so what we do, we got so many requests that we couldn't possibly do them in one night. So we said, okay, fine. Now you get a chance to have your song heard. And so we bought one of those big clear plastic raffle drums.
Mm-hmm.
So we put the envelopes in there. We spin it up. We have a laser bouncing off the drum, and it's like, it looks called Cosmic and stuff. You'd love it. And then we pull an envelope out, and it says, oh, look, I got a request here for Billy Joel, okay? And we pull it up on our electronic songbook here, and bam, we start playing the song. And it gets, everybody gets excited, you know, and they're happy, and we raise money for charity.
And it sounds like a lot of fun, too, that even though this is for a charitable giving, it doesn't sound painful at all. It sounds painless.
Sounds like a party.
It sounds like a party. Yeah. So people are getting together and having a great time, and they're raising money for causes, which is awesome.
It is fabulous. The one we just finished a couple of weeks ago was that we did it over at Memento in West Milford, which is a fabulous 4-star restaurant. And we raised $3,000 for charity, you know, and
wow.
It was in a heartbeat. It was, and people just were into it. They were demanding more envelopes. So they were giving to charity, you know, several charities. And it was all exciting. And one of the things we made sure of in the beginning of doing this whole thing was that 100% of the charitable donation goes to the charity that they choose. We don't touch a penny of it. In fact, we asked them to, you know, if they're writing a check, just write it out to the name of the charity. We'll just pass it on. We throw it in an envelope, and away it goes. And we just want to make sure they get a receipt, you know, for the donation, so they can they're tax deductible and all that stuff. So it's pretty exciting stuff, you know, and that it really hit a nerve is what excites us, because you know, there's one thing to sell a Concert for the Caring original music situation, because we do like 125 original songs. And many of them
wow.
have a heavy, caring message. And it did go over so well. We had people in tears and emotionally vested in the charities we were raising money for. But this is a whole lot more active in that we can do it, you know, every week. And because people choose the charity they want to give to, it becomes personal very quickly.
Even more personal. I remember watching some of the early videos for Concert for the Caring, and I was phenomenally impressed with how you managed to wed music with a very powerful message and target a specific group with its needs. So that is still going on, right? You're still continuing to do the Concert for the Caring.
Sure. We didn't book one this year, but, you know, because we were kind of getting the charity jukebox off the ground and whatnot. But we were very fortunate that I have a good background. I spent most of my life in business in the entertainment industry, doing technical work, building studios and special event situations for the five major record labels in Manhattan. And also, so my clients were all the top people. So I learned to do things right. So when I started putting Concert for the Caring together, we started, we bought a mobile stage. Well, that wasn't really a mobile stage. We built it. It was a construction trailer, and then suddenly became a 33-foot wide, 28-foot deep mobile stage. And then we put trussing on it, and then we got lasers. And we got them, like, from eBay and fixed them up. So we bought them for, like, 10 cents on the dollar. And then having a technical background like I do, we threw it on the bench, and we started, fixing the broken stuff. And suddenly we had a $5,000 laser from when
wow.
I paid, $500 for it, And it was like, this is pretty cool. So, we have moving heads, smoke machines, fog machines. So it makes a very impressive, highly professional presentation at a very, very low budget, because one of the things we try not to do is to low down. If we're going to raise money for a charity, why are we charging a charity? So we took that off the table. And fortunately, businesses have stepped up because they want to be in front of these audiences. It's really simple. If people who give tend to be people who are very loyal to the people who make things, the businesses who make things happen. So by supporting the charity jukebox, the very people who do the donor, the donations to charities, pay attention, and then it's a differentiator. In the business world, we call it a differentiator. So it makes you different than the guy who doesn't give to charity or support a charity if you're in a business. So it works out really well. If you're looking for that demographic, you need to support somebody who supports charities, and we're highly visible. So that's a marriage. So our expenses are all covered by business support, and 100% of the audience participation goes to the charities of their choice. And we're sort
of
the middle. I'm sorry?
That's a great business model. No, nobody loses. Yeah. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. And I wanted to keep it clean because other charities do have commercial sponsors and stuff, but it's always sort of like, it's unclear what the purpose of that business relationship is. We're clean right from the start. We have there's no hidden anything. There's no skeletons in our closet. We're totally upfront that the advertisers or the actually sponsors get credit in the book. That we get a position in the book that says, hey, these are the people who support us. Please do business with.
That's so extremely awesome.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. But go ahead.
What is the Candle of Hope? That's the umbrella organization under which both the Charity Jukebox and the Concert for Caring are, I'm assuming.
Right. That is correct. The Candle of Hope, Inc. is a 501c3, and our mission is to bring communities together around the needs that are in that community, in the region. When we did this last event, we had donations to St. Jude's, the local animal shelter, American Cancer Society, the usual ones that you usually see, Wounded Warriors. But this is all done from the heart for the people in the room. So the Candle of Hope is a 501c3 itself. So we can accept donations too, from individuals, and sometimes they do that. They say, oh, we just love what you're doing. Here's $100. Oh, thank you so much. Because when we're not that aspect of what we do, one of the other things I feel strongly about is we need to walk the talk. So we, we're not sitting around, just enjoying sitting on our laurels in between shows. We're actually active in the community. So we have, we have trucks. So, to move the show around. So when the trucks are idle, they're idle. So why don't we do something with them? And so we hooked up with Market Street Mission in Morristown, and we have a food pantry that we support down in Patterson that it does a lot of good work. And it's a very small pantry, and they're always desperate for food. So we bring food from Market Street Mission to its community outreach services in Patterson. And they need all the help they can get, because it's very hard to keep your head above water when you're a food pantry. So, we bring food down to them. We have a cute little thing we do at the Concert for the Caring, and sometimes we can pull it off at the restaurants. We say, bring a bag of food, help a neighbor in need. And when we do the Concert for the Caring, we used to get a pickup truck full of food. People come with two bags of food. Where do you want the food? And we say, in a truck, and then we'd end up with this mountain of food, and the next morning I'm out the food pantry unloading the truck full of bags of food.
That's great.
So and it feels so good. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's like, there's the old inside saying in the caring business that caring is fundamentally selfish. You feel good about it. And it's like, well, that's not really selfish, but it does tweak something inside you when you know that you've done something to help somebody else, you know.
And what few people realize is that there are many people who care about other people. I'm involved locally with my community as well. I serve on two local government committees. I'm in the Rotary Club. I'm in the Elks. I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And many, many businesses and many, many individuals are actively involved in trying to make their community a better place. And not a week goes by, even here, that there isn't some event happening that is focused on improving the lives of the other residents in the community. So a lot of that tends to follow familiar patterns, however, where you're coming up with something totally different, something totally new. And I'm really excited by what you're doing.
The important thing that I learned was that, you know, as good as it ever was, the golf outings and the gala dinners, they were good for a type of donor at a certain point in time, a long time, actually, from the 60s. But today it's a little different. The aging baby boomer, you know, these, you know, like I'm 63 this year in December. It's almost, I think still 62 and hanging on to it. But, you know, so, you know, I'm a baby boomer and you know, we have this unique qualities that are different than any other generation before us. The big thing is for baby boomers, we're the first generation that ever refused to grow up. You know, we still see the world through the eyes of an 18-year-old, you know.
Yes, we do.
We just say it's anything is possible, you know, and even at 60-plus years old, anything is possible. Let's just make it happen. And I try to tap into that by using music that people are familiar with. It, but we do our own, you know, embellishments on that music. You know, I mean, we do He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, which is the iconic 1969 I Can Change the World song. If you're familiar with it, that scene from the inspiration for that, I'm told, was the scene from Boys Town with Spencer Tracy, and he and the scene was the boys coming up the hill with the younger boy on his back, and Father Flanagan says, "You can put the boy down; he must be heavy." And then the older boy looks up and says, "He ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother."
If that doesn't tweak your gut, maybe not so much.
You know, if that doesn't just tweak your heartstrings, you know, you have none. And I bring that up at the concert when we do that, because that song, we do a more orchestrated version of it. We have some backing tracks we use with, you know, violins and everything else. It's a soaring, beautiful anthem. But it says exactly what you said. And our feeling is that, you know, if there's 1,000 people in our audience and everybody helps one person, we've helped 1,000 people. That's impressive.
Indeed.
So let's go do that. You don't have to change the world for everybody. That's a huge lift, just for one person, and then maybe another one after that. You know,
and even in your own household too. If you try to improve the life of the people in your own household, that's doing a lot in and of itself, because they'll go out and improve the life of other people, and it's kind of like a snowball effect.
It is. It's contagious. Giving is contagious. Caring is contagious. You know, and it really does work that way. You know, people come in. Like the new people come working with our group, you know, the guitar player and the singer, they were like, I do this for nothing, you know, this is great. I mean, they get a stipend, we pay a stipend to get cover people's gas and everything else, make it worthwhile, but the feeling from the players is always like, man, it's just so much good. I would do this for nothing, and I was like, you know, that's the spirit that we really want. We want it's a very familial kind of thing. You know, we consider everybody family. And they respond accordingly. You know, we have people that are just faithful. We tell them where we're playing, they show up. You know, and it's just, and they'll give $20 to their favorite cause again and again and again. And it's just, it's all good. You know, like you said, everybody wins.
It is all good. Our context currently and for many years now is something called the Age of Heroes. Over a decade and a half ago, maybe 2 decades ago, I was doing some entertainment in New York. I announced that the age of the victim was over and the age of heroes had begun, just as in days of old. And this feeling victimized is what the enemy is. That's the monster. That's the hydra that you need to keep facing and triumphing over, because many people get caught in fear cycles, they get caught in anxiety cycles, they get caught in being victimized. And there is a lot of injustice in our world that needs to be addressed, but a lot of it is in our heads, and that's a good place to start going after it. And wherever we've been, in New York, in Pennsylvania, northwestern New Jersey, now northeastern New Jersey, we start something called Age of Heroes initiatives.
And
all of them are focused on how can we make our immediate world a better place through our actions. Even if you don't have resources, even if you don't have tons of knowledge or even experience, if you have a desire to make things a little bit better, what are the things you can do just by turning around and asking a few questions? So this show and a lot of what we do locally all fits under that umbrella. And it's wonderful to find other people, too, who are motivated to find innovative ways of giving to their communities. We're all sharing in this experience together. And as you said, it's a wonderful feeling to know that you've helped people. So that in and of itself is its own reward.
This is true. You know, it's caring is for us is like the common denominator. I don't care what your background is, what your religious beliefs are. You fundamentally care, and
right.
That's a great place to start from. You know, so we stand as brothers in that, and sisters. It's a wonderful place to be because we all have something in common. We care. We care about our families. We care about our communities. You know, so it's a nice place to start. You know, so.
I hear you're doing a lot of cool things at Macy's in Willowbrook.
Oh yeah, this is a marriage. You know, they do a wonderful thing every year called Shop for a Cause, and it's basically they give you if you're a not for profit, they'll give you coupons and their suggested price for the coupon. It's a big discount. Like I think it's 25% off for this one day. As a not-for-profit, you can make, you can charge your faithful followers and donors $5 a piece for this coupon. That'll give them 25% off everything in the store. So as a not-for-profit, they called me, and we got together, and it was a nice conversation, but we really don't connect that way. But they said, would you play music? Could you come in and play music? And that was like 5 years ago. And every year for Shop for a Cause, we've been in both the Rockaway Macy's and the Willowbrook Macy's in Wayne. And they, this last, a couple of, 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, on a Saturday, we were at the Willowbrook, and they stuck us right in the middle of the store, and it was right in the makeup Estee Lauder area, right near the escalators. And we just pulled crowds, and there's people mobbed all over the place. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful, uplifting moment. So it's a lot of fun, and so Macy's is our favorite store to play. But there's others, we're going to go back into Macy's. They have I think it's Friends and Family, so their day is coming up. I think end of October, and I think it's the last week of October. So they want us back at Willowbrook, so we'll be there, and that'll probably be a Saturday. And so if best thing for people, anybody wants to know more about this, they should come to the website. It's a simple web page at this point, but it's a good way to get in touch with us. It's the usual www.thecharityjukebox.org. So it's thecharityjukebox.org, and that'll get you connected. There's a little form to fill out, and we'll get on the mailing list, and we'll send you annoying, pestering little emails once in a while, and fly you with favors, and and give you free songs and. And get you involved at whatever level you want. And we're always looking for volunteers too. If you've ever had a roadie fantasy that you wanted to kind of work with a great band, a great bunch of people, we're always looking for people to help out. So that would be the way to get a hold of us.
And I'm sure there are many out there with roadie fantasies. So those of you with roadie fantasies, take heed. Here is an excellent opportunity to fulfill that fantasy while helping out other people.
It is, and the caring is right there on the front burner. We have all kinds of opportunities like that, especially people with music backgrounds. There's so many people who used to be in the industry. I mean, I was signed to Atlantic Records in 78, so I was like almost a rock star. Not quite. Foreigner got the money, and we got the shelf. But, boy, I got a taste of blood. I mean, I loved it. So I asked for it. I asked to be in the music industry, and I was blessed with that all my life. And it was great. It was fabulous. And I avoided all the pitfalls and ended up coming out the other end pretty good. And so now I'm giving it back, you know, because I have the gift of music and it's time to give it back. And I can't think of a better way than to raise money for charity.
That is indeed a wonderful way to take one's talents and help one's community.
Yeah, sure is. Sure is.
We focused today on your odyssey as an individual and as an artist. So we're going to leave that for another show.
That would be fun.
And if you would like, if you send me what you'll be doing, I'll definitely share it on Facebook and in my other social media. So this way the word gets around because you're doing awesome work. And
thank you.
And more people should know about it because they can come out, they can have a good time, and they can help people in the community. So how can you beat that?
That's fabulous. You know, they always say it's kind of worn out, but if not now, when? If not you, who? You know, so let's
Very
just, you know,
correct.
we each do a little, we all can do a lot. So we pull it all together. We'll have a wonderful time doing it. We'll take care of the music. We'll be the soundtrack to a caring life. That's what we do. And that's it'll be a pleasure. I hope to see lots of people come out and, you know, give us a shout because that's, it all helps in the end. You know, a little here, a little there, and we've done something. We made a difference, you know.
And we've met, we've spoken on the phone a few times, and I know you have a busy mind. So I'm sure that even beyond the charity jukebox, which is where you're currently focusing, you have several, if not dozens of other things inside your head that are very innovative and are related to giving. So I'm looking forward to seeing those emerge as well.
All right. Well, you'll be there for sure.
Well, thank you. I'm greatly honored. Are there any other things you'd like to share with our audience?
No, you know, I think we've occupied a whole half hour of the audience's minds and time. So it's, I'd like to say goodnight and thank everybody for listening and, and remind them it's thecharityjukebox.org. So that's the place to find us. If you'd like to know more, there's some music on that site as well. It's our band site. There's one of the pages on it. So you can click on the music page and listen to what we sound like. And if that tweaks your interest, then let us know because we do all kinds of musical events, and we try to keep that focus on charity. That's the thing.
And I posted a link on Facebook today, advertising the show, and I will be posting as Morgan Paul does more and more exciting things. I'll be posting them on Facebook and on our website as well. So thank you so much for being on. I look forward to having you on again.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Hercules, and everybody, good night, and God bless.
God bless and joyous journeys.
You betcha.
Wow, it's great to touch base with Morgan Paul again. Remember when we met him in his home out in northwestern New Jersey? That was a pretty awesome conversation.
It was.
So what is our song for the day, Athena?
Well, our midpoint musical interlude today is Bone Poets Orchestra singing Oracle.
Oracle. I happen to like oracles. Oracles are a very important part of my culture.
Which I think meant you went to a big hole in the ground and had these gases that made you hallucinate, right?
There were those two as well, but not all oracles. Some were directed by the gods. So here we go. Bone Poets Orchestra Oracle.
Come away.
bothered. She is older than creation, and she ain't got time for fools. Do you really want to see some future in the palm of your hand? Tell me, what's it gonna be? Do you really think you really want to understand?
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And you're on Voice of Olympus eRadio here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. This is the first show of our second season, and it is titled Mount Olympus Cares. And we'll be focusing on the Elysium Project, which is something that's unfolding here in Bergen County and beyond. And today's episode is Prosperity Quest. We have two very special people, both of them in the Rotary, as am I. And we'll be focusing on them in the second part of our extended episode today. So without further ado, I welcome Christine Evron, one of my favorite people. How are you, Christine?
She's overcome.
Hello.
I'm really pleased to be here.
I'm happy that you're here as well. You have a lot of new and exciting things to share with us. So let us start with your take on innovative giving, because you have some very strong opinions on that as well.
So what's going on in Tenafly giving, or what is my tip for the day kind of giving?
Let's start with what's going on in Tenafly.
This is our month of service. The Tenafly Chamber encourages all of our members to give back. And so we have a long list of good things that are going on in Tenafly. All of our members collect food for the two food pantries that serve our area. So if you happen to be in the area, look for the big yellow signs and drop off cans of food. The Tenafly Elks Lodge is doing a fundraiser with a clam bake on Saturday, September 10th. East Madison Dental is giving a day of free dental care for the first 45 people to visit them.
Wow.
That's one's a really impressive gift. They've been doing that for 3 years in a row now. On September 20th, I'm sorry, there was a slight echo there. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. We can hear you well.
Okay. September 21st, the Rotary Club of Tenafly will be hosting a charity golf tournament. I'll speak a little bit more about that in the Rotary section.
Okay.
And finally, on September 22nd, Cook Teak, a wonderful gift shop in town, is sponsoring a Michael Arum appearance and signing event where he will be showing and selling his fall collection. And a portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Englewood Hospital and JCC programs.
That is very cool.
And finally, is it finally? I think it's finally. Coffee Week. Tenafly businesses are donating coffee so that the Tenafly Rec Department can raise up to
$10,000.
That's
a lot of
coffee.
This is
a wonderful example of leveraging. People can buy a $10 card from the Tenafly Rec Department or their fall teams or cheerleading squad and get a week of coffee and a bonus cup of tea from Mr. Walks. Shea Cheese, La Promenade, Cafe Europa, Simply Vietnamese Restaurant, Mandu Cafe, the Kanara Indian Restaurant, Frovana, Tenafly Hot Bagels, 7-Eleven, and Miller's Baker are all donating coffee to this very worthy cause.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, those are some of the places to drink coffee around town, too.
And I'm a legendary coffee drinker, so I've drank coffee at most all of these places as well at one point or another.
Well, now you have a week to go and compare all the different coffees at town and just decide which one is most to your liking.
And maybe we can do a coffee episode.
I'd be on for that.
That is pretty impressive. I am, as everyone knows, you know, very honored to be living in Tenafly, New Jersey. And this is, to many people, and they've called it this, not me, but Camelot. And, of course, it serves as a great model for the Elysium Project because it's been my experience that despite the strong opinions that tend to separate us, here in Tenafly, and here I'm quoting Christine Evron, we celebrate our differences together. And we actually do, and it's a very powerful thing. So I'm glad, Christine, that all of these people are coming together to make this happen for the Recreation Department.
It's a pretty amazing effort. It's a very easy way for the teams to raise money. It guarantees traffic in the door to the businesses. It's good for everybody.
Now,
I forgot to mention, Goldstein Jewelers is running a raffle with the used cars. They're giving a free appraisal and jewelry cleaning basket. I don't want to forget them.
Okay, and that's happening on October 22nd and 23rd, or am I reading that
right?
No,
that's happening from September 23rd to about October 3rd. But you would just contact the rec department to buy a card if you are interested in this.
I'm going there tomorrow, so I will see if I can buy a card. Do they have them available?
Oh, yes, they do.
Very cool. So you have a card purchaser who's supporting this whole coffee initiative.
And Hercules has his new labor, going from place to place, checking out the coffee.
Checking out the coffee. That's labor 456, for those of you who are counting. So, okay, thank you for that update. Now what's going on with our Rotary? There's always something going on with the Rotary as well.
Well, as I mentioned, we're sponsoring a charity golf tournament. 3 years ago now, our president's grandson, who was 34 at the time, was diagnosed with LGL leukemia. This is a very rare leukemia. It only hits 1,000 people a year, or only 1,000 people are diagnosed with it a year. It's not directly life-threatening, but obviously it is a cancer. And there's only one place that's researching it, the University of Virginia. So we are raising money to support their research. If you would like to play golf with us, go to the Rotary Club of Tenafly's website and sign up. Or you can just join us for dinner, and that will also contribute to the cause.
It is awesome. We have luncheons there every Thursday, beginning at noon and usually ending around 1:30 or so. The food is great, and the company is even greater. There's a lot of really unique and caring individuals there, the movers and shakers of Tenafly, and it's always a great time.
I always have fun there. In fact, that's my first part of my elevator pitch to why to join the Rotary. It's a place to go to have fun.
And, of course,
there's always service involved.
And there are strange conversations. One of our members actually owns Wednesdays, but that's another story, and we won't get into it today.
Does Woden know?
Now, every time Christine is on, she doesn't only share tidings of joy and good news and what's new and exciting, but she also gives folks practical tips. And she is not only the public face, but the heart and soul of our Chamber of Commerce. So, Christine, what is our giving tip for today, since today's episode is called Innovative Giving?
Well, going back to Coffee Week, if you have a business or a money-making hobby, quite often you find that everyone and their neighbor is asking for donations. It's perfectly acceptable to structure your donation so that both you and your recipient get something out of the donation. If the organization asks for a gift basket, include a gift certificate so that the item buyer sees your store or interacts with you and might purchase something more. You might get a new client out of this. But giving a gift basket only brings one new client to your door. Talk to a charity you like about sponsoring a giveaway that brings lots of traffic to your door. Select a theme, get several merchants to band together. Each one should donate an inexpensive gift to everybody sent by the charity. Make up an entry card and have the charity sell the cards to get cash for the organization. In the case of the rec department, they can raise up to $10,000 if they sell the 1,000 cards we give them. Obviously, if their efforts are less than that, they'll make less than that. But we only donate coffee to the traffic that comes through our door. So it's a win for everybody. Making up an entry card and having the charity sell the cards, get the cash in. You can set this all up with a dedicated volunteer who's really good with computers. for about $10 in cardstock and maybe $100 in ink. It usually takes me 2 to 4 man days to go around to all the merchants to get their agreement, to make sure everybody's clear on what they're giving, how many they're giving. Because while we only have 7 cups of coffee per card, we generally have about 16 different merchants participating. So we make up different versions of the card. And by the time you get your results proof from everybody, count on 2 to 4 man days of work. You should also select your nonprofit carefully. They need to have a constituency able to sell your cards. Figure about 5 cards per person. We're able to do this with coffee with the rec department and with dumpling cards with the high school HSA. But it doesn't work for all organizations.
That's pretty awesome. And your success tip for the day?
Keep your client in mind. It's a good idea just to get to chatting with clients about what they like about your store or what is the most recent thing they like about your store and work on enhancing their experience. The other thing to think about is whether you're generational. If the thing that the mother likes in your store, make sure you have a version of it for their child that they might be bringing in with you. For example, if you're making custom hats for your clients,
mm-hmm.
you might want to keep very inexpensive fascinators for the 5- and 6-year-olds that come in with their parents or their mothers when they're buying hats. You might also want to have fascinators that are a little bit more like Princess Kate wears or whatever, to sell to your teenage and young adult customers. Keep in mind what your core interest is and how it can be interesting to your clients across generations.
That, too, is awesome. And I would like you to know that I've been applying your tips to our business, and soon I'll be putting a web page up with the tips and my experiences with them. But the advice is awesome. And you're providing people with an invaluable service by speaking about this.
Oh, I'm glad. I have to say, you're probably more effortlessly intergenerational than most retailers.
That's because I'm ancient.
Ancient, but we need to grow up.
Yeah, the kids like you, too.
Now, Christine, I posted advertising tonight's show a link to the Chamber and a link to the Tenafly Rotary, but can you please provide this to our listening audience?
The link to the Chamber is Tenafly, COFC.org. And the URL... I lost a bet with somebody on this the other day. I always just Google Tenafly Rotary. Is TenaflyRotaryClub.org.
And both the Tenafly Chamber and the Tenafly Rotary are on Facebook, so they can be found there. And they're both very fun pages. And that, too, is due to Christine's very unique and creative style with sharing information. So you'll have a lot of fun if you visit those pages as well.
Are you trying to say that other people don't go to folk festivals and take pictures of their Rotary hat on top of Medusa?
No, they do, but your personality shines through both of those Facebook pages.
And I'm a big supporter of silly hats.
Yes.
Guillermo.
And I as well. Christine, thank you very much, and I look forward to the next time you're on. I look forward to seeing you at the Rotary Luncheon next week.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, Christine is always fun to have on, and tonight we have somebody new. We have Stephen Hopper from the Park Ridge Rotary here in Bergen County as well. Greetings, Stephen.
How are you tonight, sir?
I am doing phenomenally well, sir, and you?
Very good.
So why don't you tell us about your Rotary's 5K run/walk?
this is kind of a unique situation because we actually partner with another nonprofit organization. Our Rotary Club is actually a tri-borough Rotary Club. It encompasses three towns, Montvale, Park Ridge, and Wickliffe Lake. But what we did was we partnered, this is going to be our fourth year having this race, with a group called Halfway Hounds. They do dog fostering and adoptions. And especially with what's gone on over the past few months with the puppy farm stores, Just Pets and things like that, it's really, so far this is already our most successful year in terms of participants and sponsors.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. We with any fundraiser, you have to try some new things, and we did, and a couple of them seemed to work out well. We offered a early bird special for people signing up. Like, the deadline was a month before the race, so we got a nice, healthy bump with that. And also for the sponsors, what we did was this is a 5K race and a walk, so people can even walk with their dogs if they choose to.
And that's
you're
an
gonna
awesome
have,
by the way, because
yeah,
a lot of people might not get out there and run or just walk. If it's walking their dogs, you know, the dog aficionados would flock to something like that.
Yeah, and yeah. This year, one of the things we added was from the county sheriff's department, I arranged to have the canine unit brought up so people could actually see the dogs that would go into the high school and check for the drug paraphernalia or weapons or things like that. So it's not a fear factor. It's so people can become more informed about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the fire department up there with the ladder truck and the flag. The MC for the event is none other than Maria Melito from Q1043.
Cool.
So she does nice. What's that?
I said that's cool.
Yeah, and we have
I'm a baby boomer too, so my
okay.
Slang is
we
a bit
have,
old.
One of our sponsors is actually, he's a dentist, and he got himself through school by being a disc jockey on the side. So he still does it, and he's going to be the disc jockey for us for the day as well. So we're going to have music. So it's a community event. We expect to have, depending upon the weather, it's going to be between 250 and 300 people participating, walking and running, and we're probably going with the sponsors that are going to have booths. We're probably going to have 50 to 75 booths. So it's going to be a real nice day. We've already exceeded our sponsors for last year. And what we use the money for on the Rotary end of things, we use the money for scholarships for high school students going to college, and Halfway Hounds for the dog adoptions. And we tried not to make it too complicated, because although Rotary does more than just scholarships for children going to college, if you say, you know, just for Rotary causes, people just kind of, you know, they shy away from that because they want to put their hands around something that they're donating to. So that's why we, whenever we can, we try and associate a fundraiser with a cause. So this way we can, it tends to be more successful in that regard.
We're finding that in the Tenafly Rotary as well. That, you know, we're very specific about what we're raising money for, and that helps a lot. I'm proud to be, as you know, a Rotarian. I'm also proud to be an Elk, you know, and the Elks are doing some wonderful work here in Tenafly and elsewhere as well. Now, your run is on Sunday, September 18th, and it starts at 10 a.m., and there's a 9 a.m. registration. Can somebody just walk there and sign up on the day if they miss the deadline?
Sure, they can. It's if they are a walk up or walk on, however you want to call it, it is $35 as opposed to $25 if you pre-register. And also, if you pre-register, I believe if it's the 18th, 17th, but by the 15th of September, I believe that's the Thursday before, you're guaranteed a shirt. If you're a walk-up, you don't get a shirt. So some people, that's a big deal to, and you could save $10. The best way to register would be to go to our website. It would be parkridgerotaryclub.org, and there's a sign-up button right there on our website. It's the top left-hand corner. It's very prominent, and you can sign up in that regard. And it's going to be a great day. One of the things that we also did to help ourselves is we have signs along the course, so that this way people will stay on route, and we also have people at different corners to keep them on the route. What we did this year was we took those course signs and we put them out earlier. We actually, since the race is September 18th, they've actually been out since, I want to say, July 15th, and it's been helping get more visibility for people to sign up, whether it be sponsors or walkers and runners. And we actually got an additional 32 signs that were double-sided, and we had that many sponsors. So the past couple of years, we had, like, I want to say about 25 signs. We actually ordered 32 with double sides on them, and we've only got about six sides, basically three signs left that haven't had advertisements. So we've gotten a lot more sponsors, and it's we felt we needed to give more value to our sponsors, and they're getting at least a month of additional exposure, not just the day of the race. So
that is awesome as an incentive, and I'm glad you're having such success with it. And I wish you even greater success. We still have some time before the race begins. You guys are on Facebook as well. I know you are, and I believe I saw an event page on Facebook for the 5K run.
Yeah. The Facebook page is called the Rotary Club of Parkridge, New Jersey. We get tripped up with that sometimes because it's a Parkridge, Illinois. So
Illinois,
don't
yeah.
register to walk. Yeah, don't register to run in Illinois. That's not going to help us.
It'll be a lot of exercise, though, if you run all the way to Illinois. Steve, I will be reminding people on my timeline about your event, as I have been doing all along. Please feel free to also remind people there as well. Thank you so very much for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you on again.
Okay, thanks very much. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, that was great, and I'm looking forward to having Steve on again. I hope we can clear up some time to go to this event, but if not, I know that it'll be very, 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 very successful. Last but not least, on today's Season 2 opening show is D.C. Russ from the Line Mentality. And DC is young, and he's explored the manifestation and abundance arenas and has gone way beyond them. And he's come up with a lot of interesting and original things. And I'm greatly honored to announce that he'll be sharing his M word for the day for Mondays here on our show. Greetings, DC. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Hercules. How are you?
Okay, I enjoyed very much the things you had to say for today's Monday M word. And what you said is very, very true. Would you care to share it here?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd be honored. And thank you again for having me on the show. It's always a great honor, and I appreciate
well,
it very
awesome.
Much. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and just read today's Monday M word of the day for your listeners. I did something different this time. It's kind of a cynical approach. I normally take a more direct approach to the Monday M word inspiration words of the day, but this one is a little bit. It's different. You'll see. So it goes. There's a very easy way to live your life without meaning. People everywhere do it all the time, and so can you. The first step is to realize that you're not actually worth living a prosperous life. Tell yourself over and over you don't deserve it, and then settle for the expectations other people in society have set forth for you. The second step is to purchase a television, preferably the newest one on the market. Use your credit card so you don't actually have to pay money. The third step is to stay up late watching sitcoms, browsing social media, and eating lots of junk food. When the alarm goes off in the morning, just repeatedly hit snooze and eventually force yourself out of bed so that you arrive begrudgingly at work at least 30 seconds early so you don't get fired. People who live life with the least amount of meaning are adept at accepting unfavorable circumstances and possess an extraordinary ability to project their problems onto external entities. Sure, they may be miserable inside, but they never have to worry about failing or going out of their comfort zone. It's a painful, difficult road, but it can be made easier by maintaining a strict drug and or alcohol regimen. It's not easy to aspire to meaninglessness, but you can find the support you need through other people whose lives have no meaning. Thankfully, misery loves company, and these people will do everything they can to help you on your journey. And that's today's Monday M word of the day.
And that's incredibly awesomely said. I too have found that there is no shortage of people who will try to shoot down or make fun of any original idea you have, or if you voice that you're going to follow a different path. People seem to come out of the woodwork, and people are close to you foremost of all. It's a really amazing thing, and you captured it here quite perfectly.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's not meant to bring down people who are currently living a meaningless life, because I've lived it, and I was brought up around it. And luckily for me, I had just the right amount of teachers come into my life at just the right time, so that I was able to see, the end of that life, the end of that carved out path. And so fortunately for me, I was able to see the fallacy in living that kind of life really early on. And so I'm making it my mission to do whatever I can to inspire people to a higher calling, to their own higher calling. And I really can't stress that enough. Sure, you can read books. You can get inspiration from other people, experts, gurus, people you admire, role models. But at the end of the day, only you know what you need to do right now. And so that's something that I try to approach that every angle I can.
I've been following your work for quite a while, and I've seen it evolve also. And I can vouch that this is not your typical way of communicating, but it's kind of, I see it as kind of like an alarm going off. You know, people might see that they've fallen into these patterns. I know I've started many commercial endeavors, and many of those commercial endeavors have failed. But that doesn't stop me from continuing, to try to build something viable. And sometimes I have something viable for, a number of years. And I also take employment when I can find it in my fields. And, so I keep busy that way. But many people, they'll let the first person who criticizes what they're thinking of doing defeat them, and they won't proceed at all. I worked when I was younger in many places where the people I was working with were not getting up from a bed, whether it was an emergency room or an ICU or a residence program that got in an institution or at home. I spoke with people who were not getting up from that bed. And it simplified my life, because I found that at the end of life, most of the things we worry about are not worth anything. What is worth something are good memories. Good memories are better than gold. They're treasure. And not having regrets, because if you're lucid enough when you're in that bed everything you didn't do. And it's usually things like, I didn't tell somebody how I felt about them. I could have gone somewhere, but I didn't because I was afraid of what other people might say. You know, things like that. They eat at you at the end of life. And if you have at least one soul visiting you on that bed periodically, even if it's a staff person, a person paid to be there, that makes all the difference in the world. So I've tried since I saw these things firsthand and experienced them to live a life full of happy memories and very few regrets, and to really treasure the people I care about, you know, not in hopes that they'll be there for me when I'm stuck in that bed, but because the moments with them are priceless. You can't put a price tag on them. You can't buy them. So what you've been doing, and I don't know what motivated you initially, but what you've been doing has been invaluable because you've been giving people tools. These are tools that you yourself have been experimenting with and playing with, and sharing your successes, sharing your failures, and also sharing your doubts. And that's something very few people who help people succeed do. So I commend you for all the wonderful work you're doing.
That's right. And, you know, it's not easy. I've been really practicing the art of vulnerability because there is true strength and true power when you're vulnerable and you admit the bad things, the shortcomings, the insecurities and the struggles that you have. And so that's, I'm still blossoming into that. And it's great every opportunity I get to practice. And, you know, having me on the show is a wonderful chance to do that. You know, I'm just doing everything I can to step into the fears. Like you were telling me about those people on their hospital beds. You know, they didn't tell their loved ones that they cared about them enough. They didn't take more chances to go after the things they love. They didn't try to pursue a life of happiness for themselves. You know, these are all fear-driven things that held them back. And so, you know, it's not a perfect way to go about life, but generally speaking, if you step into the fire of fear, you'll find that there's a great reward on the other side. And like my great coach and uncle taught me when he was coaching me through high school, after I lost my father, he took it upon himself to tried to get me a good education and see the upper echelon of wealth in society. So that was great for me. And what he told me, my motto for high school, and it even carried into college, but it's still my motto today, is in order to gain acceptance, you must first risk rejection. And so
indeed,
going into that fire of fear, knowing, A, that you're probably going to be rejected. In fact, I don't know of any people who've lived a life of abundance, and I don't just mean money, who've stepped into their prosperity quest. I don't know of any of them who have not faced rejection and have not failed. In fact, failure and rejection are the gateways to success and acceptance. And so that's a really important lesson that I try to – let that blossom even more every day that goes by. And I encourage other people to do that. Usually the thing that you're scared of is the thing that's going to give you the greatest reward. So just accept that and do it. And reach out to the people around you that actually care about you and love you, because they'll be there to support you. And it's easy to tell which ones aren't, because they'll try to bring you down. And it's not because they're bad people. It's because they haven't stepped into their own fears.
That is very true and excellently said. You have made a new video as well. Would you care to share that with our folks?
Yeah, absolutely. It's from the perspective of the human design framework. If you don't know much about that, you can go to humandesignamerica.com and you can find out what class you are. But really it applies to all people. And it's the idea that waiting for something, whether it's something big or something small, is a really toxic and destructive mentality to have. This is one of my newest things that I've been learning, is when you're in the energy of waiting, it forces your spirituality, if you will, your life, it forces your life to contract. And I, when I heard about this just a few weeks ago, I was blown away thinking about how many times I'm actually waiting in life, how much of each day I actually spend waiting, whether it's waiting for greater levels of success, waiting for someone to call or email me back, or even if my wife just simply says, hey, could you hang on a sec? You know, sure, I can hang on a sec. And I'm happy to be patient, but to wait for that time to end is just so destructive to your creational ability on this planet. And so I advocate in the video, I say, instead of waiting, do something else to pass the time. Of course, you've got to be patient. You can't just expect everything to happen when you want it to. But there's a huge difference in the energy of waiting versus being patient. When you're being patient, you're not waiting. You're saying, okay, this is going to happen at some point. So in the meantime, I'm going to do this. And this can be anything from, you know, we all have cell phones now. You can pull out your cell phone, even go check Facebook or read something on Reddit or check your email or write down some notes, some musings that are going through your mind. You know, if you don't have your phone on you, get up and stretch, meditate, breathe, do a little dance.
I do all of those things. It's funny. I have a notebook with me at all times, and I will find things, you know, to do if I have to, you know, quote unquote, wait, as you're saying. And because I've studied meditation, I've studied different types of exercises where you don't need equipment, I'll do a whole workout routine. You know, people just see my hands moving occasionally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can use that time. When I watch television, I'm exercising at the same time, or I'm doing several other things that I would do. And this way, I can still enjoy the television show and get in like an hour workout. So, you know, managing that time, I can vouch for what you're saying. That works.
Yeah, you know, and if you're in public, you can go silently in your own head, you know. You know, there's a fear there of being rejected if you're, you know, waving your arms around like a lunatic on the subway. But, you know, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it pushes people out of their comfort zone as long as you're doing it with love. But, yeah, there's just an enormous amount of things that you can do. You can dream. That's something – imagination is something that's really been lost in our society.
Yes,
you know, if you're waiting 5 minutes to flip burgers – you know, or, you know, you're waiting for the subway to show up or whatever you're doing, you're sitting at the bus stop, just take a moment to dream of something, feel the emotions that come up in that dream, you know, be present, be aware, look at the birds, look at the bugs, you know, look at the little children playing with the flowers, you know, anything like that. It's challenging because we're programmed always to be thinking about something else and not being present, you know, whether it's regrets and anxiety about the past or fears about the future, we're always somewhere else. And waiting, the period where you're waiting for something is a beautiful time to practice mindfulness. So, you know, step into that. It's a really amazing thing. And I'm not saying I'm an expert at this by any means, but it's something that I've found is really important. And I've noticed that the energy of waiting for something has really been a destructive force in my life. So now I try to fill those gaps in with something that's entertaining or meaningful.
Very good advice. Thank you so very much for being on tonight. And I'm looking forward to having you on regularly on the Prosperity Quest shows, because always you have something new and thought-provoking to contribute. So I want to thank you for that. And I want to tell you that you have an incredible journey, and thank you for sharing it with us.
And thank you, too. I really love and appreciate what you're doing here with Prosperity Quest. And I'm definitely going to inform my readers about it. I think you send out recordings of the interviews.
Yes, I'll send you a link. Usually it takes like 10 or 15 minutes after the show for it to get processed maximally. Sometimes it's up in a couple of minutes. Sometimes it's been delayed an hour. But I posted the link.
Sure.
On Facebook and the website, and I'll personally send you a link once we're done for tonight. Can you share some of your wonderful websites with folks so they could find you?
Yeah, my blog is alignmentality.com, and there's a hyphen between the two words, align, A-L-I-G-N, hyphen mentality. And yeah, you, from there you can see my videos, you can see my articles. I have the topics broken out by subject over on the right. And you can sign up on the newsletter, and every time I post a new article or video or Monday M word of the day, you'll get that in your inbox. And it's a great way to stay in touch, and it's a lot of fun. So I'd love to have you.
And you've written tons of books, which are on Kindle. And I suggest folks see you there as well, because the books are awesome and they're thought-provoking.
That's right. Yeah. And soon I will redesign my website to house all of the content I've created and be more user friendly. I'm just trying to find that gap in time to do it.
you're way ahead of me technologically. But yeah, you have awesome stuff, and it's very easy to look through. And one of the things I like about it, even the books, are that there is enough there to give you a fine meal, but not to overwhelm you with like a lot of extraneous material or so forth. So every time I read one of your books or go watch one of your videos, you are to the point, and you give the person what they need, and it's something of value that they can extract from it right away. So I look forward to reexamining your site when it's completed.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for having me on this evening.
Okay, Joyous Journeys, D.C. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Hercules. Take care now.
Okay. Wow, we had a great night tonight. That was an awesome lineup of people, and all of them quite impressive. There are no CERN updates. I checked our Oracle here, not the one in the song, but the other Oracle on the page on the computer. So what do we have going on for us?
Well, our first spin-off show, The Pride of Olympus, will be launching later this month on September 15th at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Learn how to use meditation to explore into dream realms at the Kreska Library. And there's still time to sign up for Mythic Adventure and the Junior Superhero League for kids, or to UFO Enigma for adults at the Paramus Community Education. Their website is www.ssreg.com/Paramus, P-A-R-A-M-U-S. And you can find the children's programs in the enrichment category. If you scroll down, you will not see Mythic Adventure, but look under the enrichment category and you'll find those classes. And for more information about us, visit our website at http://HerculesInvictus.net. And for community and contacting community, see us at Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or the Voice of Voice of Olympus. Rented lips, sorry.
Our next show is Atlantis, the Unarian Revelations Part 3, which concludes our trilogy of shows on Unarius's lore on Atlantis. And then we'll be starting with them a new trilogy of shows based on past life regression and past life exploration. So I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you for joining us tonight. We look forward to having you with us again next week. May all your journeys be joyous and all your adventures yield much benefit. This is Hercules Invictus signing off.
And Athena Victory. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta indeed.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.